3.
Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thanks for tuning in to the show that celebrates all things creating, and of course, we're going to share some stories and tune our imaginations together. So, happy spring break. It's kind of been spring break, I guess technically, but March can sure be a sneaky month, giving us hints of lush spring and then whipping us back to the power and wildness of nature with blasts of wintry whites. It's been a strange season, but welcome to the wonders of the world. Wonder happens to be one of my favorite words and things. It's curiosity and meandering. It's getting lost in the way of the world and taking an unexpected turn that pulls you into a wow wonder moment. These are the adventures that lead you to discovering and making connections. And these joy-filled, getting lost in time wonders are the best. Then there are the wonders like waking up earlier this week to a snow-covered yard after the world had seemed to already have turned over to the birds and the green and the sun. It's a wonder, all right, but yowza, it can feel like a setback. And I wanted you to remember to embrace the white wonder, and I wanted to do that, but oh my, it sure zapped my zip, if you will. The awe sometimes seems a little harder to uncover because life presents us with things that are unexpected or things that it takes just a little more effort to feel the delight. So life is full of wonder in all expressions, and wonder can lead us to those connections and propel us forward and remind us that we can get through this. So I hope you always keep wondering and, of course, wandering. But I especially hope that you will engage with the arts with a big, open, wild sense of wonder. Try something new. Go on an art adventure. Ride the wave of yowzas and keep going. Experience the joy of art in little ways every day. Tell someone about your wonder stories. Make wonder a part of your world. Today in the Art Zany Radio Studio, I'm excited to have folks from the Paradise Center for the Arts joining us from, as the Executive Director, Julie Faulkner. Welcome again.
Oh, thank you for having us.
This is your second visit as Executive Director. It's very exciting. It's coming, not 6 months maybe?
A little over 6 months.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. And also joining us from the Paradise Community Theater Production, we have Sam Temple. Welcome.
Good morning.
Yes, a regular on KY. YMN, so it's that's real.
Right.
But I don't remember the last time you were on Art Zany.
I think it might have been for the Guild production of Mansfield Park.
Oh, that was a ways back.
That was a ways back. I don't know if I was on for Curious Incident, but 2019 to be sure.
Yes. Well, I'm so thrilled you're here again, and we'll learn a little bit more about you. And also joining us is Jessica Bestier. And welcome to Arts Anywhere. This would be your first visit.
It is.
And we're thrilled to have you here as you. We are going to talk about this incredible new production of Reaching Orpheus, which is a world premiere play. You don't get to say that very often. World premiere play at the Paradise Center for the Arts. It opens up April 5th and runs for 2 weekends, Friday and Saturday. And then on Sundays, there's a matinee. And we'll give you a little bit of information. But if you want to look it up while we're talking, paradisecenterforthearts.org/theater will give you those details. And let's just start maybe by introducing yourselves, telling a little bit. I'll start with you, Julie, and you can tell us about your world as executive director at the Paradise and how things have shifted for you, and a little introduction to the Paradise for folks.
Paradise is a multidisciplinary art center. We have four on-site galleries, a 278-seat auditorium, small balcony, and classrooms. So we specialize in the performing arts, visual arts, and we have lots of classes right now. But extremely excited to be here with these guys for our world premiere of Reaching Orpheus. Dan Rathbun, this is his third, I believe, world premiere he's done for The Paradise. And I know he also did an adaptation of Dracula quite a while ago.
Oh, wow. I guess I didn't realize that was his third. That's very exciting.
And I think that you were in Coconuts and Mistletoe, right, yes. Sam? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I was in another original Dan Rathbun show. Ooh, that was 2017, 2018.
It was before the pandemic. I remember that.
Yes. But it's been really fun getting to work with Dan and know him as a friend and a collaborator. Because, you know, I saw Dracula when I, you know, was young and first getting into theater. And that was an extremely formative experience for me. So for me to then be able to work with the guy who did that, that's been really, really fun. So having him as a friend and an artistic collaborator, you know, he's certainly helped me with a lot of projects in a way that, you know, can't repay him. So but I'm doing my best by being here.
Yeah. And how did you connect with the Paradise Community Theater Group?
Yeah, well, I grew up at the Paradise. I did my first show there when I was 10 years old in fifth grade. And I've been there most of the time ever since. So I've been involved as much as I can. I started with the Merlin Players Productions. A year later, I did my first Paradise Community Theater production. And from there, you know, the world has just expanded, and I've loved keeping busy with it.
What keeps you coming back to theater?
I think part of it is being connected to an audience, having that communal experience, whether it's as a performer. And you can feel the energy in the room shift based on this little move, that little move. That's addicting. But then, you know, I've recently gotten into directing as well, and being able to have that broader hand and know that when we do this way, or we work it this way, we set up this expectation, we have this twist, knowing that it's going to be a room full of people feeling the same thing at the same moment. They're going to feel their guts drop at the same moment. They're going to feel themselves laugh at the same moment. That's been a lot of fun. So whether it's a drama like this, or a show where there's more, you know, special effects and spectacle, and you can really kind of play with the senses, it's fun no matter how you slice it. And I think it's that communal storytelling that you can't do by yourself. That's really addicting.
That is powerful. And that makes me think, because people may know your name, Sam Temple, from Northfield Public Broadcasting. And so it's interesting that you're behind the scenes doing some of those things. But there are some very big similarities between, you know, producing those pieces and then the stage work. So talk about that connection.
Well, it's really all about community. You know, the work with NPB is hoping to reflect the community and trying to get more people involved to have their individual voices, because video is more accessible than ever. And then, you know, community theater and theater in general, it's one of those art forms that you cannot do alone. You need someone in the light booth. You need someone doing sound. You need
someone
on set.
It is not a person standing on stage without an audience or any help to bring a show to life does not make a show, even if you could make a sound.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's something that you need to have trust, and you need to have your community around you to make it happen.
That's really incredible. And that, if that's not reason enough to keep your go get your tickets, then I'm not sure what will be. Let's hear a little bit about you, Jessica. Introduce us to our listeners and tell us about your connection to the Paradise Theater.
So I grew up actually doing theater here in Northfield my whole childhood. And then down at when it was Faribault Area Community Theater before the Paradise existed, working down there. But my mom, Kathy Rush, is the chair of our theater committee.
Oh, my gosh. I adore your mom.
we all do.
I did not realize there was a connection.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Kathy. I hope you're listening. And she's coming up on a big retirement.
Today's her last Friday working just across the street at the library. So she's going to be in her retirement. I'm sure she'll be spending more time at the theater then.
That makes sense that you grew up in the theater.
I grew up in the theater.
So you were acting and hanging out at the theater?
Yes. It used to be the crew of my brother would run the lights and I would work backstage and she would direct. And so it was a whole family endeavor. And then she was, as soon as the Paradise was becoming its own space, she was very involved with that, and then of course pulled me in, and now my kids are involved, so we have a third generation of theater people in the family. And I've known Dan, the author director, for many years. I grew up watching him on stage in Owatonna as he was, you know, a teenager and in his early 20s, and so to then watch this whole progression of coming to being an author and writing these original scripts for us. He's just so brilliant. And the way that he can see his vision and try to guide us to, you know, and but be open to changes and stuff. So it's been fun to be a part of that and working with him.
Oh, that's very exciting. And so I'm thrilled to have you here. This is really a wonderful connection. I've been working with your mom for years on the Arts and Culture Commission.
Yeah.
And she is a great talent. And so to have you here and to tell us about this production is very exciting. Now, and because it's a world premiere, again, the play is called Reaching Orpheus. And no, there's just a few sentences out there about it. So what we know is it's an original drama about a young woman who moves to Colorado to restart her life after a tragic loss. She rediscovers herself and her inner strength through rock climbing and unlikely friendships. So that's the teaser, but there's a lot, I'm sure, more to the story. Do either of you know a little bit about the way that this play came to be or the way that Dan connected with the storyline?
Yeah, Dan had been talking about writing a play where he was going to build a rock wall on stage for years.
Oh my gosh, I thought about that question too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so that was the hook from a long time ago. And I remember him even, I had him review, he was a huge part of my first directing experience, and a script that my collaborator and I wrote, Dan, you know, helped make it an actually good script.
There's an art to that.
Yes. And he also said, well, I'm going to steal one of your characters' names. So I'm going to, and I think he did. So my main character was Alexander Faribault, and the main character in this is Alex. So I don't know if that's what he was referring to, but it sure would make sense. And that was 5 years ago. And it takes him years to write these scripts. Having him kind of share that from at the embryonic stage, and then about a year ago, I think he started having table reads and some very early versions of the script. I knew that he was into rock climbing, and he's been doing that for a long time, and he's had a lot of stories. You know, I think one of his favorite places on earth is Colorado. So there's specific landmarks and points in the script where he definitely made sure, hey, and you know, get this name right because this is a real place, and you know he's got a little cred going on here with his accuracy and making sure that we look like we know what we're doing when it comes to rock climbing. So that's where that aspect comes from, is he's had this, you know, crazy idea of the climbing wall and his personal connection to what climbing means to him. Then on top of that, it's a story about grief and relationships and how people handle those different things, familial relationships, how complicated relationships and fractured families can be compounded by loss and grief, and how you can't really resolve one without resolving the other. And it's just a big dance that people go on. Sometimes it's a clean resolution. Sometimes it's messy and unresolved. And, so, you know, without speaking too much for Dan, there's a lot of very real personal stories that are involved in this. And that gets heavy. Mm-hmm. That gets heavy to portray and to try and do honestly, because he's written a very honest script, which is part of what makes it so hard to perform sometimes, because it is so real and authentic.
Yeah, and that I'm sure is something that every family can relate to, yeah. That there are those issues in every aspect of our worlds. And tell us about the character then that you play, because you don't play Alex.
That's right. I play Sean. So Sean is a local to this Colorado town, kind of a washed-up, attempted professional rock climber who has moved back to his hometown as well to work in a brewery that his dad runs and try and be a climbing guide.
So I got to ask, because was one of the requirements for this show you have to be a rock climber?
A requirement was you have to be able to seem like one. You must be an actor who is willing to exercise.
That would be a stretch for a lot of folks.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
That job is not easy.
No, and it took some training. So he had, you know, basically a training wall that, you know, was installed in my house for the run of the show for us to train on. I play Sean, who is that climbing guide, so he has experience. So Dan just needs to, it's like learning a dance. Like, I didn't know how to dance before I was in this musical, but choreographer teaches me to look like I know what I'm doing. Dan, tell me if I don't look like I know what I'm doing. But then the other person who climbs in the show is the main character of Alex, who is actually played by my fiance, Inanna Antley.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. But it worked out because Dan had one climbing wall, so we have it in the same space, so we could both use that there. So that was a big challenge. And so not only that we both need to learn, but at certain points in the story, she needs to look like she doesn't know, and by the end of the story, knows like she does know.
So. That takes some incredible acting, but I suppose that's no different, like you said, than learning to dance or learning to do, you know, a fight scene or learning to do anything with physical comedy or any of those things. It's a way you have to learn the movements and then repeat and learn and practice.
It's not dissimilar to the show that was we did last spring, which was the play That Goes Wrong. There was a lot of physical comedy and a lot of stunts there. We hadn't done stunts before that, but we had to learn how to do it because we needed to not get hurt doing these things.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of similar elements there. But Dan has been extremely gracious with learning, but also very cognizant of our safety and comfort as we're going through these things.
Which is a really big deal.
Absolutely.
I love that idea of a stage with a rock climbing wall. So that is an intriguing, my mind is already thinking, where did they put it on the stage and how high up does it go?
Yeah, how much of a suggestion of a rock is it versus, but you know, it's so, you know, it's made of plywood and 2x4s, but it is climbing regardless. So the climbing is very real.
Yeah, and does your character rock climb?
I don't have to climb. I get to watch them have all the fun.
Tell us a little bit about your part in the production.
I play Abby, so I am a Colorado resident, and I am a college friend of our leading lady. And in her coming back, she reaches out to me to meet up and kind of check in with each other. And the, you know, the challenges and the strains, like Sam was talking about, those relationships that you have, and you know, the people sometimes that you really care about can be the ones that you can be the hardest on as you struggle through things. And you know, you might push, and how does that work? Do they push back? Do they leave? You know, do they pull away if you're pushing them, or do they try to continue to? And that dynamic of friendship and supporting each other, and it's but I don't have to climb.
Yeah, that but then you do have to, I imagine, you know, be supportive of that in the rehearsals too, and be a part of that process. Did you feel like you should like try it just for the sake of being a part of the team?
I'm working on painting the rug. That's my contribution.
Painting the rug. And you get it. That's a skill too. Right. Which is, and tell me, Julie, about bringing something that's a world premiere to the stage at the Paradise, and how that happens, and what's that, you know, process for making it a part of the season.
The Paradise Community Theater works on picking the shows and the directors, and I have been going to all the meetings since I've been the director, executive director, and it can be hard to market them But this is the perfect way to market this show. Hearing from the actors, hearing from Sam, who's been working with Dan on this project for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. I mean, to create something new and put it on stage is amazing. And that's what we want to do at the Paradise. We want to create. Of course, we do a lot of the usuals. But when I do tours of the Paradise, we have all the Paradise Community Theater, actually Faribault Area Community Theater, turned into the Paradise Community Theater, all the posters from every show.
Mm.
So every time I do a tour, I say, you know, here's Annie, Beauty and the Beast. We do these usual ones. I always mention Dan. Mm-hmm. Coconuts and Mistletoe, Coconuts and Moorhead, Dracula, and now Reaching Orpheus. So it's very exciting to have people in the community who do this, like Sam's done originals at the Paradise also.
Yeah, so you have like this whole history of Sam's, you know, growing up in the theater, mm-hmm. if you will.
No, absolutely. It's literally, that hallway is memory lane. Yeah. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a really great thing. We should talk about the title, because Reaching Orpheus. Now, I was like, Orpheus, I know that. You know, I didn't remember, so I had to go look up the Greek mythology. Yeah. But I don't know if that's the connection, or if there just happens to be a place named that. Or
There's a little bit of that. I think, so Reaching Orpheus in the play is the name of the central climbing route that our characters are working on. For my character of Sean, he was on that rock when he had learned that his sister died. So for him, he has this special connection to the rock, and that's where kind of his grief is manifest in climbing that route. And then when he meets Alex and she's in the picture, creating the... having the rock also have a similar journey for her,
mm-hmm.
but for her entirely different grief, a completely different journey that she's on. And then, yeah, there's certainly, you know, Orpheus and Eurydice, the idea of loss and grief and trying to come back from that, I think certainly plays into that. But I don't want to stoke Dan's ego any more than I already have.
So. I think with, you know, the, like you were touching on, there's the loss and the grief and the your character and Alex meet each other, and there's sometimes you meet people that, because they're a stranger, you might have conversations with them, or you might be more honest with them than you are going to be with the people close to you, because you don't have all this history and you don't have all this backstory. Dan is really brilliant on understanding those heavy moments and the difficult conversations, but then finding ways to make something lighthearted to give the audience a chance to breathe. And he'll know, like, as we're running through things, he's like, this is a place that they're going to, so you need to pause here because they're going to need to breathe, or you need to, you know, and, mm-hmm. and guiding that feeling and really understanding where the audience is going to be sitting, and sometimes wanting them to sit in that really difficult feeling because it challenges you. And, you know, sometimes that's why you go to theater. It's not always just for entertainment. It is to be challenged.
Yeah, and I think that's something unusual as you're talking about that. Most people who do plays do not get to be with the, you know, writer of the play for the production. Mm-hmm. And so how has that experience been? Because you have a reference point. You can go back and say, when you wrote this, were you thinking this? Or do you, what's that dynamic?
Yeah, well, part of it is so much of it is development, because you hear it and you go, that doesn't sound right. Or this could sound more natural if we try it like this. Or this is what I'm trying to express. Say it how you would say it.
Now, is that you talking or Dan?
Okay. It's Dan. When I'm in a bad mood, that's me talking. But most of the time, it's Dan. Dan gave us permission to let the scenes be fluid, let the lines be as natural as they need to be. Now, he had particular areas where he's like, this, you know, this line is verbatim. This mm-hmm. line is verbatim. It's important that we set this up in this way so that we have this payoff later on. You know, he's very cognizant of everything that is required for the story, but gave us a lot of permission to make the characters as natural as we need to be. Dan is very collaborative. Now that, is a challenge when you're trying to memorize sometimes.
if it changes.
As my very patient castmate across the table can attest to. But that's also been part of the fun. Part of the challenge is being able to craft these authentic characters, because Dan has written, you know, there's no, well, this character needs to be at this place at this point in the story, so we're just going to contrive a way for them to feel that way. Everything has been very authentic. You know, Dan told me, you know, I wasn't involved in the writing process at all. I just got updates from him periodically, and at one point he did share that he just set, he didn't know where the story was going to go. He set the characters up in the situation and just let the writing happen, let the characters make decisions. And that's how we got this story, and it has worked out really well. So as an actor, that's extremely exciting, because there is, you know, oftentimes even in the best written shows, some characters just do things because they need to do things in the plot, or it's a little hard to justify, or you don't have the insight of the playwright to explain how did the character get to this point. Whereas here, there hasn't been any point in the show really where I've had to question why Sean was making this decision or that decision. It was a fully formed character that you just knew and you understood as soon as you read the lines for the first time, which is really, really special.
Yeah, that's an exciting place to be. And you will be the first time this character is presented, so that will be the baseline, right, for all future productions. And it's a small cast. I think there are, what, six actors?
Something like that. I think so.
And so that's, I would imagine, a real an experience that probably won't be repeated again.
Yeah.
Because you're inventing these characters and this story in a way that will go on to the next piece, but you've built that and put that to life. So that must
be running through a scene and saying, okay, no, I think we should try it with maybe a little more humor behind it. And we try that. No, I really didn't like that. That didn't work at all. Okay, let's try it with a little more anger behind it. Or, you know, those pieces where trying to build and change and adjust based on what each of us as individuals brings to these characters. I was at one of the first table reads that we did, and to go from that to what is, so much of it is the same, but there are things that he took out and things that he changed and things that hearing people read it, I think, made him think, no, that just doesn't work at all. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, changing and adding. And
what a great experience as an actor, too, to be able to have that insight in why a line works and why it, or why it has to stay this way because of the part of the story that it, you know, makes happen, and to see that, like, it's like getting inside his mind.
Yes. Yeah. Dan is a director who works with a lot of humility. You know, he never has said, I want it this way because I want it this way. He always has a reason for why he wants things the way they, or the way things ought to be in the story. But in spite of that humility, or maybe because of it, I don't know anyone that knows story better than Dan Rathbun. Structure of story, characters, authentic characters. I literally don't know anyone who knows it better, knows it inside and out.
What a gift. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's a very exciting thing. And tickets for that are on sale now. I want to make sure that we give people, there's a special.
Yes, we have a buy one, get one free for the first weekend. So that'll be Friday, April 5th, Saturday, April 6th. Those are at 7:30. And then April 7th at 2. Unfortunately, you cannot get the deal through our website. But you can call us at 507-332-7372. And if you can't call us during open hours, just call and leave a message. We'll get back to you. We'll figure that out.
Yeah. And what are the box office hours?
We are open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 5, Saturday, 10 to 2.
So this afternoon would be a good time to call.
We'll open at noon.
Then you can make sure and take advantage of that deal. Again, that's just for the first weekend.
Just for the first weekend. Yep, buy one, get one free.
But the tickets are still available online if you choose to do that. It's just that the deal is probably something with how you have to finagle the...
Yes, we would have to call our company and have them blah blah blah. Yeah,
we'd rather, but there are two options, and if you want the deal, you need to call. Otherwise,
or walk up. You know, you can walk up and we'll give you that deal at that time also.
Right. Check out a gallery.
Yeah.
That's right, because there's a lot happening at the Paradise. Yes. I guess we should spend a minute talking about, I think I went to the website and I was just like, how are they doing all of this?
So Julie, leadership.
How are you doing all of this?
Yes, currently in the galleries, we have the Art Educators of Minnesota, their student show, and usually that show is at the Capitol.
At the state capitol.
Yes, and they wanted a different location this year because it's schools from all over the state.
Oh, how exciting.
So I remember the teacher from Stuartville was excited that, you know, we were like an hour closer for her.
And for her students to show off to their families.
And they had a big award ceremony, and tons of those people had never been to Faribault or the Paradise, so that was extremely exciting.
What a great opportunity, because when you walk into that place, there is just this feeling of, there's something that tells you this is where art happens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a gorgeous lobby and a beautiful theater.
And I think this is the first time we've ever had student artwork in the Carlander.
Mm.
Usually that's more for the professional artists and the group shows. We also have the student area show upstairs. We have the most student artwork we've ever had in the building since I've been there. And I've been there, 2009, how many years that is. But so we're very exciting. And the creativity of the students, the passion from the instructors comes through. In the Vranish boardroom, we have Linda Snuffer. Her work is all worked with natural fibers, like actually printing from plants.
Mm-mm.
In the K&M gallery, we have Rhonda Norgard, Melissa Kugler. I have some work, and Sue Leach. So there's pottery, there's bookmaking, there's a collage in that gallery. In our student gallery, the Krieger Gallery, we have Bethlehem Academy.
Mm, so you have more shows in addition to all that art from students across.
Yes.
That's a lot of art.
It is a lot of art. And we switch those galleries over every 6 to 8 weeks. And we'll be switching those over April 8th.
So folks need to come and see that show in the next week or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's also classes happening.
Oh my gosh, yes, yes. Will McIntyre has been going gangbusters on getting those classes scheduled. And we got a grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board to do creative aging classes. So what those are is they're classes for 55 plus. And so we've kind of adapted those classes for that age group. And I took some extensive training pre-COVID and during COVID about teaching creative aging classes and how to offer them and, you know, adaptations and things like that. So we have those on the website. There are scholarships available. The grant is covering the supply fee. And I will be doing one, and I'm going to do the paint or a portrait of your pet trifecta. So you'll do your portrait of your pet in white clay, raku clay, and then end with a painting. We've got Judy Say Willis, who I know just won an amazing award. She'll be doing natural dyeing, and she's going to collaborate with Riverbend on her project.
Yeah, she's the new living treasure in Northfield.
Yes, she is.
Which you can check a full interview soon on Northfield Public Broadcasting.
I do want to see it. Yes, that's a really great. She's an amazing. She was here a couple weeks ago on Art Zany Radio, and or maybe it was last week. She's amazing. And yeah, the lineup that you have for this is just, and I'm so excited that they start in April?
I think May. And they'll go through January.
Yeah. You could plan a whole year's worth of classes. And
Sandra Sargent will be doing stained glass, and her classes have been filling up as soon as we put them on the website. So
folks need to get that.
Get registered today, and we've kept it very affordable.
It's really a fun program, and there'll be, I think one thing I noticed about it was that it was also about connecting community.
Yes, and we are going to plan in a social interaction time. So maybe, you know, they'll come and get their coffee and their tea and then have just hang out and talk and get to know each other before diving into learning those artistic skills.
Yeah, and that's a great way, you know, that's what the Paradise can be, a place mm-hmm. where you can come, find things to do, find new people, you know, find places to volunteer.
Well, as Sam said, and Jessica said, and me, and Will's been on the show, I know you guys grew up there, mm-hmm. but, you know, I've been there over 12 years, and it is home. Mm-hmm. And we want other people to come and experience that. And our mission is we want all people to experience the transformative powers of the arts. And come and do that with us. And I always say you have to try something. Try something new, and sometimes you have to try it twice. I always say I thought I would hate pottery. I tried it once. I was like, nah, this isn't for me. Then I started doing the raku firings. I just love it. So,
and that's fun to see because people know you for your paintings, yep. but now you're doing some of those
clay.
Things with
clay
material. Yeah. So there, yeah, there's that's I think a great place for people to be is that idea of I wonder what it's like to do this, or mm-hmm. I've always wanted to try this, or mm-hmm. and to find other people like-minded is a real blessing, and so that the paradise can be that. Mm-hmm. How do you feel when you walk into the paradise? Sam and Jessica, I'll ask you.
It's home, and when you when you have time away from it, you go, geez, Louise, how do I, you know, how did I do that? That took so much energy. That took so much time, and then you walk in, and I know. And then you smell like the paint on the stage. There's a very particular smell of backstage, which is like paint and sawdust, and it just
and sweat. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, and then suddenly I'm 10 years old, staring up at the enormous like ceilings again, and it's incredible. And you remember all the people that that are still involved, the people who have since passed away mm-hmm. or moved on, that have been part of those journeys. You know, part of what's so special about the paradise. You know, in Faribault, it's the confluence of two rivers there. You get the Straight River and the Cannon River. You also get the communities from the Owatonna area mm-hmm. and the Northfield area and the Faribault area kind of in this centralized location. Because, you know, we have Rachel Heider directing Crazy for You this summer. You have Dan Rathbun. He lives in Owatonna. He's directing Reaching Orpheus right now. Will McIntyre is a Faribault kid who grew up. He went to school in St. Olaf, lived in Faribault, and now is working at the Paradise. And he directed a wonderful show, If Then.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, we had you on, and I saw that show, and yeah. I can't stop thinking about that mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. And the acting and just the beauty of the show, it was just so powerful yeah. and meaningful and just something I'm so glad I got the opportunity because I didn't know about the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, community theater can do that. It can introduce you to new stories, new ideas, and it's an amazing experience. Yeah. And this one also sounds like that kind of an opportunity.
Yeah, it deals with a lot of similar pieces where, you know, catharsis is the word that I use a lot, is it's not always about escapism. Sometimes it's experiencing your own feelings and emotions through someone else's story.
Mm.
And so I think that this play does deliver quite a bit of that. You know, when we're all dealing with loss and grief, and even if it's not about death, just the life that you didn't get to, that the life that you thought you would live.
Well, and maybe coming out of the pandemic, that might be a thing that we need to go through. I don't know if that's the right word,
yeah,
but
yeah.
to acknowledge, process.
Yes.
What are your feelings when you walk into the paradise?
I think they both just nailed it. It's home. Mm-hmm. And you, it's one of those things that you can step away from if you need mm-hmm. to, you can come back to, and you know that community and you know that place is always there. And when you sit down in this empty theater and a new script and you're on a fresh project, and then you see it come together and you see it grow and you see it change, and watching it get to its full potential before then the next, you tear it down so the next group can come in and do it. And watching that process repeat is so beautiful. And I, you know, I have to give my mom a lot of credit because she's been choosing and being on committees for choosing plays in this area for my entire life. Cause she mm-hmm. helped, she was on the, you know, committees at the Guild that picked plays when I was a kid, and then to be on the committee. And she very much believes in, we need to trust our directors and we need to challenge our directors and we need to challenge our actors. And, you know, a lot of people like to come out when we do big shows and Beauty and the Beast and these other really well-known shows, which are fabulous. And we love to do those, but we also have to do the things that you might not know. And this is a great example. If Then was a great example. A lot of people didn't know about that, but our director had this vision
mm-hmm.
and we trusted him, and he put on this beautiful thing. We just did the Hello Girls, mm-hmm. not a well-known show, but one of
amazing
the best.
Show. Amazing.
That we've done. I was so fortunate to be a part of that project, to work on the choreography with that and be there and watch that group develop that show was incredible. And with this, please trust us. Please trust us. Every actor in this show has done many, many, many years of theater. And I think it really speaks to the fact that we take it very seriously. We know the playwright, and trust us. Come and take a chance on something that might not usually be what you go out for, but you'll be surprised and hopefully pleasantly surprised and enjoy yourself.
Right. I think that's an important thing, because sometimes it's easy to go to the show that you know, mm-hmm. and it's harder to make the leap to the show that you don't know. But sometimes those can be a lot more meaningful. And this one, I think particularly, you know, to support a local cast, a local writer, and a local theater is even more important, mm-hmm. to show up for those. And if you're just tuning in, this is Paula Granquist. We're here on Art Zany Radio. We're talking with folks from the Paradise Center for the Arts about the world premiere of the play Reaching Orpheus, which opens up on April 5th. So that is right around the mm-hmm. corner. Yeah. And so that is very exciting. I'm going to ask you guys about where you are in rehearsals. And it runs for 2 weekends, 5, 6, and 7 is the first one. So Friday, Saturdays at 7:30, and then Sundays is the matinee at 2 p.m. So there's 2 matinee opportunities, I've got the 7th and 14th. And tickets are very reasonable. Mm-hmm. $16 if you're a member, $18 if you're a non-member, $12 for students, mm-hmm. or you can get that deal, which is 2 for 1.
I won't get one free for that first weekend.
Yeah, and so you'll be the first one if you come to see this production ever. It's never existed in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so much fun to bring these characters to life and to have that connect.
And where are you in the rehearsal process, and how are you feeling? That always amazes me, because I think the sense I get from productions is you always think, how are we going to do this? And then all of a sudden it goes, oh, we did it.
Yep, it always comes together. So the answer is always, well, I feel better at the end of the week than I did at the beginning of the week. Mm-hmm. And right now it is just locking in what, you know, the flow of the show is. You know, okay, we've tried this scene a couple different ways. We've tried this line a couple different ways. Which one are we going to do?
time to
Exactly. Exactly. So that's been what a lot of this last week was just, what is the flow of the show? What is the pace of the show? And really, this was solidifying that memorization as well. So then next week, you know, when we have the lights, when we have the costumes, when the actors can be fully immersed in the space, that's when, you know, you can go full throttle a little bit, because there's a lot of intense things here. And there's not, you know, PG-13 language. There's very strong themes. So it's something that, you know, we want to take seriously, you know, and you know, some kids who can handle things like that, you know, if you're showing your kid, you know, dramas and things like that, maybe they might be used to that. But just, you know, be aware of your own young people that you might want to bring to this show, because there's some really heavy things in this. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a real challenge, just to make sure that we are, you know, we're not going too hard too early, because it can weigh on you. And, you know, for me, you know, Inanna and I, you know, live together, and so it can be difficult to do some of those scenes, because you carry that with you a little bit, and just having to be very intentional about when you're decompressing, when you're in character, what you're carrying, and how to be that support system. So that's been a new challenge for both of us, because we've done lots of theater together, but never dramatic, and never, you know, hey, this isn't how we resolve conflict, but we're having to do that every night because we are two unhealthy characters in this show. So
right. Those are always the best characters, the ones
exactly.
who don't do it
yes.
perfectly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sam has a lot of lines. Him and Anana both, they really have the majority of the show mm-hmm. as these two people that, and their conversations. And
so I hadn't thought about that.
You have a lot of talking to do.
You used the word pacing, and I hadn't thought about that when you're doing a production, especially one mm-hmm. with some heavier themes or some material that's more challenging, that, you know, you want to, I don't, save isn't the right word, because you want to give it off every time you're on the stage, but mm-hmm. You need to manage that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was one point early in the process where Dean Lamp and I were working on a scene. He plays my father in this show.
Another great local actor.
Absolutely. And someone who just takes it so seriously, mm-hmm. and that is such a treat to work mm-hmm. with. But there was one point where Dan said, I need you guys to pull it back because you're doing great, but you can't be there yet because mm-hmm. it would just be too much if we were doing that every night. Mm-hmm. So we did just have to take a step back and, okay, think about this less emotionally and more more methodically, more mm-hmm. Surgically for now, so then the emotions come later.
Yeah, that is a really interesting piece of the puzzle, that mm-hmm. there's so much that has to come together to bring a play to the stage. And, you know, I think about that in terms of the ways of building community and the ways that for any production besides the on stage, there's all backstage stuff too, that if people are thinking, you know, I wonder how I could get involved or what I could do, there's something for everybody. You've been a part of a lot of different
things.
Please
come. We always need, yes. you know, and whatever. The thing is, I think some people get scared away from theater because they're like, I just don't want to get up and talk in front of people. That's such a small piece mm-hmm. of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we need people to work backstage. We need people to help build sets or paint sets. If you just like painting, that's great. Come if you have any interest in running sound or lights or a spotlight. Teenagers, you mm-hmm. know, come and join us. We mm-hmm. always love volunteers. We will train you to do the things. It's yep. so much fun. And you will get a family that you carry with you forever. And it's so special.
And we also need front of house volunteers, yes. too.
Yeah.
We use 9 volunteers per show. And we have a lot of shows at the Paradise. So that's another way to get connected.
And that would be, just explain to people what that means if you're going to volunteer. That's
you get to see the show for free.
Well, there's that's even a bigger bonus, right?
Yeah, it's on-the-job training. It's pretty simplified. We use 4 ushers, 3 bartenders, a greeter, and we don't have that handicap accessible door yet. I'm working on that. Mm-hmm. So they all play a big part of it, too.
And so it's really just welcoming people to the space yes. and helping people yep. get to where they need yep. to be yep. in time for the show.
Get them exactly. a program. So. My 9-year-old loves to do it. she's happy to usher. And you know.
So it's a job that anybody can do.
Oh, we have families who do yeah. it together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah, and that's a great way to give back. And to then, you know, one of the things that's going on in the world is this, you know, a lot of loneliness, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to have a community theater where you can come and be welcomed and, you know, use, everyone has talent that can be shared.
Well, yeah. I think the last time Sam and I worked on a show together mm-hmm. was Young Frankenstein,
yeah. mm-hmm.
which I did the choreography. Sam was in, mm-hmm. and this is years ago, mm-hmm. but now we can walk into the theater. We're working on the same project again, and you just kind of pick up where yeah. you were and, mm-hmm. oh, hey, look it, we're just all older now.
Exactly. Yeah.
How does that happen? And it's so, mm-hmm. and it's fun as an audience member to see that and to see mm-hmm. the growth and the development. And like,
yeah.
I remember when that person was in a show and they were just, wow, they've, you know,
people
so much.
People remember the most baffling things. I'm like, I hardly remember that show. What are you talking about? Like, you remember me from that? I had 2 lines. That doesn't make sense. You know, like yeah. that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. it's cool to see that all come back because it's not like, part of the fun is, oh, hey, that's my barber. That's the person from across the street. That's the person that I know from church or something. But part of it also is, I've only seen you here at the Paradise. I don't know your name. I don't know who you are. But mm-hmm. I recognize you and I go, hi, it's so good to see you. Because it is. Mm-hmm. But our only connection is by coming together to enjoy this space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty incredible thing. And so it requires support, whether that be, you know, being an audience member. Mm-hmm. If you have the financial ability to contribute, that's a great way to help the Paradise. And or just to, you know, be a part of a production, even go and just walk around the gallery mm-hmm. and, you know, show your support. There's so many ways.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so how do you love being a part now in this role?
I'm surprised it's taking me a lot longer to adjust than I thought. Mm. I thought it would just be like, well, I've, you know, been here forever. But it's just different roles, you know, seeing those dollar signs and things like that. And we have just booked our 2024-2025 season.
Oh, my goodness.
We've solidified all of the performances on stage, all of the gallery artists for the upcoming season. Sam will be directing for mm-hmm. us again. Will McIntyre will be directing for us again.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing. We will be announcing that probably in May. And we'll have our new season guide by the end of May.
That amazing. You're working so far ahead to make these things happen. So you have to have your head here and there.
Oh, yeah. Where we are always working years out. So come and see us if you have an idea, you have a project, you're working on a grant, and if you want to sponsor a show.
Another great way.
That's what we're doing right now is we're finding sponsors. I think I have the perfect sponsor for Sam's show right now. So that can be businesses or individuals. I am sponsoring Bad Bad Hats. And they're coming.
They did get a new date because I know they were supposed to come and then that was had to get moved back. So do you have the date for us?
September 20th.
Woo!
Yeah. So I'm very, very excited. And they just released a couple new singles.
Very exciting.
Yeah, that's a group that I know you're very excited about. And
that's it. If you're excited about a group, also come and talk to us. Sometimes people bring ideas that are out of our budget, but if you want to be a sponsor, maybe we can make that work.
Yeah, that is such a wonderful thing. And to support that and make that go on for like generations, your children and the people who, I just love that about the community theater and the ideas and the ways that we can all bring together and make things better.
Yeah.
The things you touched on at the very beginning about the reason
that
you're a part of the theater.
Yeah, it's all about community more than anything because, you know, there's community theaters everywhere. There's groups of people doing art everywhere, and that's absolutely true. Everyone can have that community there. There is just something special about having your home, and that's what the Paradise is for so many people.
And so this is great. And ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org, you can get all the details on all of the shows. I think you've updated the website a bit. It's a little easier to maneuver.
Yes, we've got a newer website. And we do have a tab just for the creative aging classes. So we thought that needed its own space.
And so folks can click to sign up or become a member or get a ticket. Anyways. So.
And sponsor or donate.
Yes, exactly.
And butts and seats is another, you know, if that's all you can do. I mean, not only do your ticket sales go far, but that also helps for grants and things like that, being able to report how many people you serve.
Yes, it's nice to keep the numbers.
Just come see it and then tell other people.
That's why you should come that first weekend.
And if you don't like it, tell even more people. We don't care. We don't care. They can have their own opinion.
Yeah, that's a rule of thumb with theater is it's always going to be harder to get tickets the second weekend. So if you know you're coming, come the first weekend.
Yeah, let's one last plug. The one reason or two reasons people should come and see this particular show, Reaching Orpheus, which is no one knows, so you're going to find out about this as its world premiere happens next weekend.
Yeah. Yes.
And there are some surprises in there, and there are some things in there that, I mean, we're not going to spoil, but but come and be surprised, because it's not always what you're going to expect.
It's not a story that you've seen told before. And I don't mean that in a cute way. I mean, like, the beats, the choices that the characters make, it's original just by someone who knows story extremely well. So it's not often that you can get a show or a movie or a new storytelling experience that you really are on the edge of your seat going, I have no clue what's going to go next. Because there's been no cultural references or social media or anything else. It is just a blind experience. And how often do you get to do that?
And it's such a worthwhile journey to do that. It's good for the soul. And so I think this is really exciting. I thank you so much for coming in. I want to thank Julie Faulkner, the executive director of the Paradise Center for the Arts, for everything that you're doing. Also, Sam Temple, thanks for being here. And I hope it's not as long between our next visits.
I'll hopefully be back to talk about the production this fall.
Let's do it. And also Jessica Bastier, I'm so excited to make the connection that just made my day. So thank you for being here and being a part of the Paradise. Folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Please remember to add that wonder to your life, and always remember to take some time to enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's Gift Shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8255.
Weekends are meant for fun, and what's more fun than live music at the R Bar in Randolph? Stop by the R Bar every weekend for house smoked food, fun, live bands, and entertainment on Saturdays, and some Fridays every once in a while for more fun. Follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/rbarrandolph for updates and a full lineup of events. Bring your friends for fun and live music on the weekends at the R Bar in downtown Randolph. For incredible music, food, and fun this weekend, make it the R Bar.